Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. When Marcello Angelini first became artistic director of Tulsa Ballet, now some 20 years ago, he stated that his goal was to make the ballet company one of the finest in America. Most people at the time probably dismissed that statement as mere rhetoric. But over that 20 years, he and Tulsa Ballet have proved that statement as fact, improving, growing, bringing in the best works and finest choreographers in the ballet world, increasingly commissioning their own works, developing choreographers, building an education academy, now a pre-professional company, and they take the next step this weekend with developing a season for its Tulsa Ballet 2. If you're not familiar with Tulsa Ballet 2, the company is a two-year pre-professional program that helps young dancers ease the transition from the conservatory or academic training program to a professional dance company. Tulsa Ballet 2 presents On Your Radar, the first of two productions by the company this season, this Friday and Sunday at Studio K at the Tulsa Ballet headquarters. The evening will feature two brand new works, resident choreographer Ma Kong's In Formation, along with brilliant young New York choreographer Norbert de la Cruz III's Fourth Wall, along with the classical ballet standard Auguste Bournonville's Napoli Divertissement. I'm joined by Tulsa Ballet Artistic Director Marcello Angelini, now celebrating his 20th season as director, which starts with a month of new creations, this weekend with Tulsa Ballet 2, and later this month with the Senior Company in their annual New Creations at Studio K. Marcello Angelini is my guest today. Marcello Angelini, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Good to see you, as always.
Hey, great to see you too, Rich.
And this is a big season for you, your 20th anniversary season, but it also marks a couple of milestones for the company, and one of them will be taking place this weekend when you're at Tulsa Ballet 2. You know, over the years, you have brought in some top choreographers from some of the large companies in Europe, and they do have that second company. Sometimes it's a professional company. Sometimes it's a pre-professional company. And in the case of Tulsa Ballet 2, it's a pre-professional company. But this is a big milestone because this will be the first time Tulsa Ballet 2 has its own little season.
Absolutely. And let me touch on something that you just said. You know, I brought in all those great choreographers from all over the world. Well, backtrack a little bit. Where did they start? You know, each one of those talented dance makers has to have a starting point, and giving a young choreographer a company to create a work on, well, it can get a little bit dicey because just in the case of Tulsa Ballet, our payroll is $30,000 a week. So if it takes 2 weeks to create a ballet and 1 week to put it on stage, you're investing at least $100,000 just in dancer salaries on one work. So Tulsa Ballet 2 makes perfect sense. But yes, Tulsa Ballet 2 started, we started talking about it in 2005. In fact, in 2005, we had our first person in Tulsa Ballet 2. 2006, we had three, and then little by little it grew. And the original purpose, and as we know, then things morph into something bigger and more complicated, thank God. The original purpose was to transition dancers from the academic studies to the professional career. What I saw throughout my first 10 years as artistic director is that the gap between the academic studies and what is required of a dancer that joins a company
was too wide
and kept growing wider.
And I have to say, over watching the company for a number of years, you would have these core members come in, and then they would be gone because they didn't have all that much opportunity to dance, because I assume it's just because there was such a learning curve. And when you say academic, you're talking about a dance academy, not just a school. You're talking about somebody who's had this pre-professional training, but there's that big gap between turning professional. And just like in baseball, there's double A, class B, you kind of have to do the same thing in dance.
Rich, no, you're absolutely right. When you finish school, you should be at the top of your technical game. However, what you lack is the other 50% of what it takes to be a professional dancer. For example, performance abilities. How many performances can you do in a ballet school or in an academy before you graduate? Even if you do a performance, chances are, or a competition, you will dance one solo. Well, it's different when you have to learn a 20-minute ballet and you have to learn it in 1 week. and then the next week you learn another one, and then another one, and then you are dancing three totally different kind of works, and you need to retain not only the steps, the choreography, but also the different styles. And can you work for 6 hours a day without collapsing? So, as you said before, you are absolutely right. You would see people coming in straight from school, and some of them would make it. But others, you know, they go from being the top of their academy, the number one student of their academy, to being, as we say in Italy, the last wheel on the wagon. And that can be depressing, you know. Well, yesterday I was the star and now I am the understudy of the corps. Some people worked through it, other people got depressed, you know, it was too much for them to handle. So we said, okay, let's start a second company, being mindful of the fact that when you finish the academic studies, you want to be able to support yourself. So those dancers are paid a stipend that varies between $800 and $1,000 a month net, and so that they can leave. They don't need to have, well, they might want to have a second job, but at least they get something from us. And in the meantime, we want to give them performance opportunities. So, for example, this year, TB2 will do pretty much 30 performances, almost as many as the main company. They will do educational programs, and during those educational programs, they will change their repertory, dancing different pieces so that they go on stage with classical and contemporary works time after time. They go on tour. And again, the ultimate goal was for the second company to have its own season. And, you know, when I threw on the table those big ideas, everybody around me starts shivering. Oh, my gosh, here comes another one. But, you know, sure enough, 9 years later, TB2 has its own season.
And when you look at the current core, there are a number of people who have come through Tulsa Ballet, too. I know two members just this year moved to the main company from Tulsa Ballet too. And I guess that's the other goal of Tulsa Ballet too, is to provide at least some stability in the core.
Well, to date, 12 dancers from TB2 have transitioned to the main company. And another 30 that graduated from this program are working in other companies. Of course, what we want to achieve is that dancers that go through our second company, they get used to our repertory. They get used to the aesthetics of the company. They get used to the way we work, the way we gel together. And by the time they transition in the main company, I mean, they are like the rest of the group. There have been cases where dancers had to be there for 2 years. There had been cases where dancers were there for a year. And there have been cases like Jennifer last year, who joined in August. And by the end of October, she was already dancing the lead role in Christopher Wheeldon's Midsummer Night's Dream. And she transitioned to the main company, barely 17 years old, at 3 months after joining the second company. So we don't keep them there because they are second company. As soon as they are ready, we move them up.
Wow, that's really great. And you mentioned that they're performing a lot of works through the year. Now, Tulsa audiences will see them do 6 ballets, the 3 this weekend and then 3 in the spring. But I assume they're learning new repertoire all through the season and performing it out of town or in educational performances.
Yes, but they also augment the company in the main performances, and they take class with the company all the time. So they are now preparing this wonderful triple bill that will open their first season. And then right after that, they will start doing educational programs in the morning and then working, learning all the repertory of the main company, Carmina Burana, Bolero, Nutcracker, Sleeping Beauty, Three Musketeers, throughout the season. And then toward the end of the season, they will start working, learning, and eventually they will perform the creation season series for the second company. So their schedule is very, very busy. And that's important because, again, once they get into the major leagues, you want them to be able to play the game. You can't afford to have football players who are very good, very strong, and they get into the major leagues and they play one game every 3 because they get injured. They're not used to that kind of work.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this weekend's performances. 3 very interesting choices. A standard part of the repertoire, but it's also that quirky side of the repertoire because it's Bournonville, who is we associate it with the Royal Danish Ballet. very different style from the rest of the classical ballets of the 19th century. And you'll be doing Napoli Divertissements. These are all sort of Italian styled. It's a Danish take on Italian folk dances.
It's,
right?
It's a Danish take on how we dance in my city, the city of Napoli, where I grew up. You know, August Bournonville probably saw a couple of tarantellas and decided to make a story on a ballet on Napoli. Well, Bournonville's repertory, it's very entertaining, and is, as you said, is very special, because growing up in Copenhagen, in the Royal Danish Theater, well, the stage was very small and the company was very big, so he had to choreograph works where they didn't open the arms very much, otherwise they would hit each other and they wouldn't travel side to side very much, so everything is pretty much up and down. But while it's very interesting to see this style, which is La Silfida, I mean, it's the biggest ballet of that that choreographer, it's also instructional for the dancers, because dancing Bournonville is extremely hard. It's a lot of jumps. You never
it's jumping jacks.
Absolutely. So while the audience is going to be exposed to a little piece of the great 19th century repertory, the dancers are using that tool in order to move one step closer to the main company or any other main company in the country.
And dancing the Bournonville style is completely different from the Russians, and so it's a different dance vocabulary, isn't it?
Well, it's very bouncy. While the Russian and the Vaganova style and the Petipa, all great ballets of the 19th century, are in a way more static. The corps de ballet stands there and makes beautiful poses and does little things. Well, in Bournonville, you are jumping all the time and you are turning all the time and you are turning from the most uncomfortable positions that you can start from. So, again, it's a great tool for those dancers to grow and get better.
Is it a good way to sort of relate to what you see today? Because so much of today is about jumping, moving around, incredible. Now, you don't have the movement around, but you also have that sort of turning in different ways and turning in different styles.
Well, actually, what Bournonville teaches you, if you dance enough of it, and I dance three or four pieces from Bournonville, is to separate the upper body from the lower body, because the legs are going very fast, and again, you're moving all the time, and the upper body has to be so composed that Peter Schaffus used to tell me, you put a Kleenex between your right hand and your left hand, and if you break it because there is tension in your arms, then you're not dancing it properly. So the way of separating lower body and upper body eventually gives you that lightness of jump that you can use for any other work.
Well, that will be one work of the three that will be on the program this Friday and Sunday at Studio K, as Tulsa Ballet 2 presents their first season, On Your Radar, featuring the company in their first mini-season. And it won't be just learning classic ballets. You're having choreographers come in to create works for them. And in the case, Ma Kong has a new piece called Information. It's using the music of Philip Glass, so that sort of gives you a sense of a look of the ballet, because the minimalist music is so identifiable. What do you have to say about that particular piece?
Well, the first thing that I have to say is that it's diametrically opposite to Bournonville, because Bournonville actually precedes, in the history of dance, precedes Petipa and precedes Vagano, of course, because she's 20th century. Bournonville is the oldest ballet that remains in the classical repertory, is La Sylphide from Bournonville. Mm-hmm. So we go from the oldest of the classical pieces to Ma Kong and Norbert that are at the leading edge of contemporary dance. And so imagine those dancers going from that to Ma Kong. Again, having a piece from Ma Kong fits within the mission of TB2. We want those dancers to be able to dance with the main company or with any other company. Well, who is the resident choreographer of the main company? Ma Kong. And Ma Kong uses a vocabulary that is obviously very personalized, but that includes all the styles that he has been exposed to when dancing with the company for so many years. The say is, if you can dance Ma Kong, you are ready to dance anything that is in the repertory of Talsa Ballet. Now, this work that he has created for the Second Company is full of energy. It has great duets. As we know, mass works are extremely difficult to dance, but extremely beautiful to watch because of the energy that the dancers have to put into the piece that eventually translates into the audience.
Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to that. My guest today is Marcello Angelini, Tulsa Ballet Artistic Director. Another step for the company as Tulsa Ballet 2, the pre-professional organization, starts their own season this year, two productions this year. Will it always be two productions because of all the work they're doing with a regular company through the year?
Well, for the moment, it's going to be two. And then we'll see how things, grow. There are so many things with Tulsa Ballet that when we started them, we didn't even know that they would grow to be what they are now. So right now we have achieved yet another goal, and let's see in 10 years from now where we'll be.
Tulsa Ballet 2 will present On Your Radar, three productions of Bournonville and two new works by Macon and Norbert de la Cruz III, who just graduated from Juilliard like about 4 years ago, and he's already doing incredible work. And we'll talk about him in a moment. But anyway, the performances are this Friday night and Sunday afternoon at Studio K at the Tulsa Ballet headquarters. Before we talk about Norbert de la Cruz, we'll talk a little about the composition of the company, because one thing I noticed, the people that are coming in for Tulsa Ballet too, they have come from places like Joffrey in San Francisco. This year's company, you have Houston Ballet Academy, Pacific Northwest, San Diego, but also from the Tulsa Ballet Center for Dance Education as well. This is, I assume, another goal is to start kids at a very young age and watch them come all the way through Tulsa Ballet 2 and perhaps to Tulsa Ballet.
Well, and that was another purpose of the Tulsa Ballet 2. It usually takes 10 years for a new school to start seeing results, to start turning out professional dancers. Last year was the 10th anniversary of the school, and sure enough, we had our first two dancers that came to the school to join the Second Company. Obviously, if you choose to take ballet at Tulsa Ballet Center for Dance Education, the purpose is eventually, if you want to become a professional dancer, we need to provide you the tools to get there. And the academy is the first step. But our students are the same. Even though Macong creates ballets for the top level of the school every year, even though we want to expose them to the company repertory, and our students do take classes with the Tulsa Ballets, Ballet Masters and Ballet Mistresses of Tulsa Ballet repertory, but the gap is still there. And so it makes perfect sense that our students use the same bridge to join a main company or our main company from the day that they finish the school to the day that they become true professional dancers.
Well, the next step will be kids that come through the academy go elsewhere and then come back to Tulsa Ballet too.
Absolutely, but when we have vested interest in those students because we see them growing up in our school, of course, we want them for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the third choreographer on the program, Norbert de la Cruz III, young choreographer, and he's kind of doing this thing where he's dancing at the same time he's doing choreography, and his dance credits are really impressive too. Complexions, they've been through town a couple of times and some other companies, I guess working as a guest dancer for the most part. But he's also doing a lot of choreography. He's done choreography for Juilliard. He's done a lot for Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. Mm-hmm. And so how did you find out about it?
Well, actually, Alfonso found him. Uh-huh. Alfonso Martin, whom you know has been with us since the beginning of time, I think it was 1990. He joined the company in 1998 or 1999. He just retired a year and a half ago, and he is responsible for the day-to-day operations of Tulsa Ballet 2. And Alfonso came to me one day and he said, I saw works from this guy, Norbert. They are very interesting. And he does that, he's always looking out for young choreographers. And I saw this piece and I said, wow, this guy has an incredible vocabulary. Little did I know that Norbert is that young. and when he came, he's just a little guy. He looks like he's 15 years old. And then you see him in the studio. Oh, boy. I mean, the guy can move and he's organized. What is interesting about a dance maker of his age he already knows how to structure a piece. And that's really the craft of a true choreographer. You can find people that can make up steps, that can choreograph a solo, that can do a nice duet, but finding somebody that at that stage of their life, 25, 26 years old, are already able to conceptualize a piece and put it together in a way that it makes sense.
And you're talking about the arch of a piece. So you have a great beginning, you have tender moments, you have exciting moments, and then it ends in a big finale of some sort, or maybe a very soft, tender finale.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the structure. And Norbert not only knows how to create the individual pieces of the ballet, but he also knows how to structure a piece so that it is, again, as we say in Italy, we compare a ballet to a fish. We live by the sea, so you know it has the head, it has the spine, and it has the tail. It's a full fish.
Well, now this piece he's created, I guess it uses video as well. Is that right?
Yes, it uses.
It's called the Fourth Wall.
Yes, and I saw they did. He finished it while I was in Japan judging the Japan Grand Prix. So I only saw it on Vimeo, the last run that they did, and I so look forward to see it in performance this weekend.
It looks to me, from what I've seen of his work, is like the 300 seat. Theater is perfect for him because it seems like there's a sense of really small detailed movements that you're going to be able to see in a 300 seat theater that you might not catch that same detail in Chapman.
You know, and that's why we built this theater. There are certain works, chamber works, that lose their punch when you see them from so far away. Chamber music was created for intimate atmosphere, and the same thing in ballet. Chamber ballet works are meant to be seen in a smaller space where you can see all the details, where sometimes you can just stand still and read on the face of the dancer, the artist, what they mean. And yes, Norbert's piece seems to be perfect for that space, and so are the creation pieces that we do for the main company.
Yeah, and I have to say, from what I've seen of his vocabulary, it's really kind of interesting. The carriage of the arms and how they're moving is really interesting, and he does a lot of work on the floor. I don't know if this piece does or not.
Takes a little bit of work on the floor, but interestingly enough, he recorded two dancers talking to each other. Oh, how are you? You know, stretch your feet. Oh, wow, your artists are incredible. And look at your extension. And, you know, those two dancers went on for about 5 minutes chatting about, you know, each other and the responsibilities of this piece. And then he choreographed steps to the words, and now that's an entire movement of the ballet, and you hear them chatting to each other, and you see in movement what they are talking about. Again, extreme creativity.
And of course, the fourth wall refers to that wall between the dancers and the audience, and I assume there might be some breakouts of that fourth wall in this piece?
That's the hardest wall to break. You are not a true artist until you can break that wall. And Norbert manages to break that wall with the audience.
All right. Well, we look forward to that. Tulsa Ballet 2 this weekend, Friday evening and Sunday afternoon at Studio K on your radar, featuring the works of Norbert de la Cruz III, Ma Kong, and Auguste Bournonville of the Napoli Divertissement. Now, big season coming up. When you've sort of mentioned Three Musketeers coming back, Andrei Perkovsky, which was one of the first big choreographers you brought in. Sleeping Beauty, of course, the sort of greatest hits of the last 20 years at the end of the season, the Nutcracker and all. But you're actually opening the season with the thing we expect to close the season, which is Creations in Studio K.
And I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I did that because, you know, the this year's Creation series, it's the best one by far since we opened Studio K. The challenge with the Creations in Studio K is that Creations are interactive. The choreographer will come to the studio with some ideas, and then he will start putting them on the dancers. And based on the feedback that he or she receives, well, they will take the next step, and then he gets more feedback, and then the next step. And that's how they build the creation. The challenge with doing it at the end of the season is that dancers are tired, not only physically, but also mentally. And it's the hardest series to dance.
Nagging injuries, perhaps, that they're dancing with and things like that. Yeah,
exactly. And you know, a season is like a day. You start from sunrise, and then you hit the noon hours, and then the afternoon and the sunset. Well, the creation series used to happen at the sunset when the energy is already sort of gone from the dancers. Well, this year they started, and of course they're all fresh, and the choreographers come in and they give them a challenge, and they say, oh, I can do that and more. Okay, then I'll give you another one. And I mean, that the first thing that I noticed is that usually in 2 weeks the choreographers barely manage to finish their pieces. Well, this year in 1 week they finished the work. In 1 week. And it got better and better and better, and the, all three works are just quite exceptional.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. That's coming up in a few weeks. Now, will that be only the main company, or will we see some Tulsa Ballet 2 people filling in on something like that, or will they be doing the big ballets?
Well, they're all cast. Uh-huh. Well, not all. I should say some of them have been cast to be second cast and understudies. The way we work with this, with the creation series and everything else, we make sure that we have a first cast that is ready to go. Then we start looking at the second cast. That will happen next week, so we'll know for sure if we have some TB2 members on stage. We'll know that at the end of next week.
Of course, I would assume a program like this one this weekend, they're out to open your eyes as well as the artistic director to what they can do.
Well, and they are, and they are. I mean, this group is very good, and last year's group was very good. I mean, let's keep in mind that we get between 200 and 250 requests for auditions for TB2. And out of those 250 requests, we'll probably look at 70, 80 dancers, and then we will hire 10. And they can only be in the second company for 2 years, because if after 2 years they haven't made it into the main company, we don't want them to be stuck here wishing and praying and hoping that one day they will get in. That means they need to move on. But in most cases they do, because again, 30 dancers that graduated from this program are dancing all over the country right now, on top of the 12 that have been or are dancing with the main company.
All right. Well, we wish you great success. And you can see perhaps tomorrow's ballet star today at On Your Radar this weekend.
And yes, and for the people that saw Jennifer Grace last year in the first program of TB2, well, within 3 months, she was dancing Titania in Midsummer Night's Dream. So, yes, they will be able to see the stars of tomorrow in today's performance.
All right. Friday night and Sunday afternoon at Studio K. Marcello Angelini, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Marcello Angelini is the artistic director of Tulsa Ballet. Tulsa Ballet 2 opens his 20th anniversary season with their first production in their mini season, On Your Radar, with performances Friday and Sunday at Studio K at the Tulsa Ballet headquarters at 45th Place, just off of Peoria. For information, visit TulsaBallet.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you miss one of our recent programs, they're available online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. Just look on the page, look for Studio Tulsa, and you can see our most recent shows or search through our archives. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening. Thank you.